Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker and Ryan Huang. You know, 2021 marked a year of significant change. We saw governments, businesses, and communities continuing to navigate the challenges brought on by COVID-19. And this change was also evident in the real estate sector. That saw the acceleration of existing trends and the emergence of new ones, shaping how occupiers and investors in Asia Pacific will seek to adapt and drive growth in the year ahead. So all eyes are now on what the future holds for 2022 and beyond. According to CBRE's 2022 Asia Pacific Real Estate Market Outlook, the outlook for Asia Pacific's commercial real estate market is positive. But what's behind this bright outlook? Let's find out more from Dr. Henry Chin, who is Global Head of Investor Thought Leadership and Asia Pacific Head of Research at CBRE. Henry, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot. I'm very well. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you so much for helping me out with this. Always interesting to talk about the real estate sector. Of course, CBRE Group, an American commercial real estate services and investment firm, and you guys recently released the APEC cap rate survey. Dr. Henry, could you tell us more about this survey?
I think the survey is what we are asking our brokers and as well as evaluations, evaluators, to see what the pricing is a change across all the commercial sectors across Asia Pacific. And for this year's finding, it's very fascinating because we are in the rising interest rate environment globally. Yeah. But so far, the cap rate has remained largely stable in our region.
Could you check what's the methodology behind this survey? I mean, who did you speak to?
We speak to our brokers, capital market brokers across Asia Pacific. We also speak to our valuers across Asia Pacific. So the sample size is very meaningful and up to date.
For sure. All right, let's talk a little bit about the past 2 years. And obviously, we saw a lot of change, right? Tell us a bit of the evolution of the real estate investment scene over the past 2 years. And I think it's very significant now because borders are reopening.
Yes, the borders are reopening. I think in the beginning of a pandemic, there are many transactions in 2020 because we can't travel. We are not sure about what the COVID is going to end up with. And so 2020 has been a very, very quiet year for us. For 2021, life was gradually back to normal. So 2021, pent-up demand was so strong. So we had one of historical high transaction volume across Asia Pacific. Now things are moving ahead because, borders are reopening, right? And so we see the revenge consumption. We see the revenge tourism happening. So, a lot of interesting opportunities coming through.
I like the way you put it. But Dr. Henry, I mean, when we talk about revenge, it's an interesting type of revenge, right? I mean, you've got these rising interest rates in the background. You have talk of a potential recession. How is that playing out in the aggressive revenge that we're seeing?
I think just based on my personal anecdotal experiences over the past 8 weeks, I've been traveling globally.
Okay.
I do see the passengers, consumers, you and I, we had excess savings. What we are trying to do, we are spending on the services. We are going out for holidays. So this kind of revenge tourism, buying the services, I do believe it's going to be sustainable for the next 6 to 12 months.
Okay. Are there any potential challenges then, other than the fact that we are in a rising interest rates environment? Anything else that you're on the watch out for?
Yeah, we need to watch out for, particularly on the global supply chain challenges. We see the war in Russia and Ukraine. We got a China COVID zero policies. And also, we need to watch out very closely for those energy prices and construction costs also rising quite substantially since the beginning of the year.
Okay, great that you brought that up, because I want to get your thoughts on APEC investors' sort of attitude when it comes to asset pricing. I mean, has that changed? Has that evolved?
From Q1 number, we haven't seen many of the changes, but on the back of rising interest rates, on the back of what the U.S. is moving on the prices, we are expecting to see the pricing is going to remain probably stable. We're going to see the drop in prices, which cap rate is moving up pretty much across a lot of economies in second half of the year. And because the cost of financing just increased quite substantially in those major economies.
So they are displaying, in a sense, lower risk appetite. They're looking for higher yield at this point in time.
They are actually, funny enough, investors are looking for logistic and offices more of a core. If they can add value, they can do a little bit of a value-added investment. But pretty much they want a stable cash flow because we are on the back of uncertainty for economy growth for 2023.
Yeah, I do want to talk about cash flow. That's a really good point you bring up because, I mean, you mentioned earlier on potential slower economic growth, global supply chain issues, even China's zero COVID strategy, the war in Ukraine, Russia. I mean, how is that affecting cash flows as much as people are looking for stable cash flows?
I think the beauty of real estate is we got a, once you sell off a rent, growth is really looking for stability for the next 3 years. So while we are talking to the investors particularly pay attention to lots of rent growth stability. That's number one. Number two, they pay extra attention for the tenant qualities. So even rent is up for renewal for next year, the tenant pay for the higher rent? That's very important.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm on the line this morning with Dr. Henry Chin, who is Global Head of Investor Thought Leadership in Asia Pacific, Head of Research at CBRE. We're talking about the real estate scene. And here's an interesting one. Asia Pacific investors targeting assets in mainly gateway cities, I beg your pardon. Could you tell us which are these gateway cities and why have they chosen such locations?
Okay, so the gateway cities are largely in, as of now, the latest information is focused on Tokyo, Singapore, and Sydney and Melbourne. Okay. So Singapore is where the West meet the East. Singapore is going to buzzing and for the next 12 months for sure. Tokyo, very stable. Interest rates so low. Australia, transparency, high liquidity. So that's what they are looking for.
Earlier on, you talked about how people are looking at logistical facilities to see if they can add value. There's one that I've been very curious about, especially in light of the pandemic and how we've turned to tech, right? What are people's or investors' attitude towards data center as an asset class?
Buzzing as well. I think beyond the traditional asset classes, I think data centers are highly sought after by all the investors. However, we do not have enough data center facilities as of now, so investors need to do a lot of development. And then the major market, again, is Japan, Australia, and somehow in Singapore.
I'm not sure if this comes across as a little bit outdated, Dr. Henry. Maybe you can help me with this. We talk so much about this hybrid work space. We've talked a lot about maybe some companies pushing the narrative where, okay, it's fine to work from home. I mean, what does that do for office spaces? Is there still a high demand for it?
Oh, yes, definitely. I have to say Asia Pacific future demand for the offices is soaring. And the occupiers is so positive for the future demand for the offices. Hybrid working is here to stay, but I guess within our region, the people talk about hybrid working still largely want to work in the offices. You know, one day working from home per week, that's a new normal for us. We need to embrace the changes, right?
Yeah. People looking for the right kind of office space, right? A little bit more relaxing, nicer environment. If right now, you were to take a look at investors' priorities, what are they generally evaluating? What are some of the main factors that your clients are considering?
I think the factors, number one is they are looking at stable cash flow. I've been talking about that. The second one is more increasingly important, talking about the financial cost. They are looking, they try to lock in the financial cost and the LTV loan-to-value ratio. And then that's become a crucial important to justify your underwritings.
And to wrap things up, Dr. Henry, how are your clients achieving their target returns amid this tight yield environment? Also, of course, the rising interest rates.
I think the interesting part is the investors are looking for the shorter WALE asset because the real estate fundamentals is very, very strong. So if you have a shorter leasehold, you can mark to the market. So you got a stronger rental growth just by your underwritings. Of course, secure the lower cost of financing is important and to make sure your strategy is going to be excelled.
Yeah, that's always the hard part. I've been speaking with Dr. Henry Chin, Global Head of Investor Thought Leadership at Asia Pacific, Head of Research at CBRE. Dr. Henry, I appreciate your time this morning. You take care and have a great day ahead.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.